In today's episode, we talk about How to Train Your Dragon. Not like how to actually train a dragon, but the film. This is Funsphere Movie Club. Just to ask you a question, you're going to be running the show on How to Train Your Dragon. Do you need any research help, or you know what you want to say?
I know about this movie.
You got it. Okay, cool. Cool. All right, well, if nothing else to say, let's get started. Hi, welcome to Funsphere Film Club.
Oh, I thought it was movie.
What is it? What do we call it? Funsphere Movie Club? Is that right? I don't even know.
A film club sounds fine.
It does. It has the alliteration. I'm Josh.
I'm Josh.
I'm Samantha.
I'm Mike.
We're joined once again by Angela, and of course, say hello, Angela.
You mean Mike?
No, I don't.
I'm Angela. Hi.
Yes. And, of course, our two favorite knuckleheads, Mike and Samantha.
I'm not a favorite.
You're an honored guest.
That's really rude. I'm a guest here.
You are an honored guest.
We are series regulars.
I don't know if I'm going to be here anymore.
No, you're recurring. You've guaranteed at least 13 episodes.
I'll have my people talk to your people.
That's excellent. Guys, we need to work on getting people that her people can talk to. We need to get right on that, okay?
It's milk.
Yeah, I was going to say, bring your people to the screen, please. Okay.
All right, so what are we talking about today? Yes, I see you pointing at your cat. Maybe you can tell us about the movie we're talking about?
Oh, it's something called How to Train Your Dragon.
Okay. Why don't you tell us about it? What are we dealing with here?
A DreamWorks film based off of a children's book series.
Okay.
Though kind of like really loosely based. I don't remember the year it came out, but I remember it was before I moved back to California, so maybe 2009, 2010.
2010.
I didn't really have any interest in watching it, but I think Wes actually wanted to watch it, so I was going to watch it with him, but then he showed, like, he came, like, 30 minutes into the movie. I remember that. And I was like, what did I miss? I was like, nothing. And then...
That guy's always late.
He is. Yeah. And then, left the movie, couldn't stop thinking about it. And, it's really cool. It's about some Vikings and this, you know, hiccup who's kind of skinny and like a Viking nerd, I guess. He's not good at doing fighting and things. And he has a little contraption and he shoots down a big dragon. Also, dragons are a problem. And I'm not good at running it.
You're doing fine. All right, so.
Yeah, Night like Fury.
Knife, you got, and they become friends, right?
Yeah, and then they become friends, and like, Hiccup, like, shot off Toothless's tail fin or something, so Toothless needs Hiccup to like help him fly again.
All right,
I didn't realize that they were the same.
What do you mean?
Well, I didn't realize that he. I thought that the dragon just was born without
part of it. No, I think yeah, Hiccup shot it off, and that's why kind of at the end when Toothless bit off Hiccup's foot trying to save him. Mm. So it's like, you know.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I missed that part.
Yeah, because when he grabbed him, like, to grab him while he was falling, he, like, grabbed his foot. So he either crushed it beyond repair and somebody else amputated it or bit it off. So it's, like, you know, reciprocal.
Ooh. A leg for a leg.
Yeah. Now we're codependent.
All right. So before we go into it, can anyone tell me the name of the actor who provides the voice for Hiccup? I just want to see.
Jay Baruchel.
Yes.
Baruchel.
Which that was my biggest complaint of the movie. Like, I like him as an actor, but he really did not fit that character at all.
I got used to it. Like, I just really got used to it. But yeah, the first time I watched it, him and America Ferrera were really distracting for me. I'm like, that's just Ugly Betty and that guy from She's Out of My League or something. And
then, okay. All right. And let me just say, while we're on the voice actors, it's also really off-putting for Vikings of Scandinavian descent to be played by Scots. So...
Yeah,
Gerald Butler and Craig Ferguson. Gerard Butler.
Jerry Butler.
Yep. So it's
Gerrymandering Butler.
Once again, I acknowledge I couldn't pick a Scandinavian accent out of a lineup, but it's also clearly Scots, and that's weird. So
they're Scottish Vikings.
Yeah, they actually, the Vikings spent time in Scotland.
Yes, raiding and pillaging.
And gave birth to American children, / Canadian.
Yeah, / they all have a plethora of accents, so you shouldn't be as judgmental.
I think I should.
Did you, I remember this, that some of the movie wasn't finished up to like, I want to say like 3 months before it was supposed to come out, or maybe even less time. And so there's either unfinished animation in the movie, or they like speed ran animating parts of it.
Probably a little bit of both. I'm looking into that to see what you're talking about. See if I can production.
And I just thought it was neat, because I remember when that movie came out, I didn't think it was possible for anything to look better than that. And then the second one came out, and I was like, whoa, nothing can ever look better than this. And then the third one came out, and I was like, they did it again.
Wait, there's a third?
Yeah, it's all, what I really like about this series is it's like, it was meant to be three movies the whole time. So it's a very, it's a complete story.
Hmm. When did the third come out?
Right before I moved back here. 2019?
2019, yes.
Huh.
Yeah, we looked up, because we watched it on Amazon on the freebie with ads.
Okay.
And so when Mike was looking it up, he was so upset. I was hangry because I was trying to eat. But he was like, why is it How to, you know, Train Your Dragon 2? And they wrote out 2, and then they wrote out 3. And then it was never just How to Train Your Dragon. And it
in the predictive search.
Okay.
So it predicted everything but the thing that I was trying
but
to say.
But the original, okay.
Yeah.
I see. All right. So I guess let's go around and talk about what we thought about the movie.
Anyone? Love it. It's great. Yeah.
Okay. So why did you suggest this one to us? Like, what makes this one that you wanted to pick?
I was just trying to think of, like, movies that I... Because I'm more into, like... I don't have a ton of movies that I feel really strongly about or super love, so I just picked this one because I like it. And I think it's the all three of them, but, you know, technically this one, because it started it off, I guess. It's just one that I remember, like, I got really into it, and I love the second one the most.
Okay.
But it's also, I think, one of the first... I know we talked about this a little bit with RoboCop and like sequels and stuff, but I feel like this series is one of the first ones I saw where, like, except for like excepting like Harry Potter or something, you know, that's books, this is so different from the book series that I don't even count it as like telling the story from the books, because it's not. But first group of movies I saw where they had like a complete story to tell, and I'm like, okay, okay, okay. Like, this was planned from the beginning. Like, you don't lose any, like, there's no weird changes between the first one, second one, and third one. Like, it all makes sense in progression. Even the score, like, you go to the second movie, the themes from the first movie follow, and then like and then are added on to for themes for the second movie, and then and then same into the third. Like, it all just feels like very linear. Like, it was all supposed to be this way. And yeah. I like it.
Okay. All right. So, Mike and Angela, what'd you think?
I was pleasantly surprised by it.
Okay.
I always like when you have those experiences where you're like, I don't think I'm interested in watching a movie about a dragon. It doesn't seem like something that's appealing to me. But then you do it, and you're like, wow, I really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And I definitely think we'll go and watch the second and the third now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you guys hadn't...
We liked it.
So this was your first experience with it, is that correct?
Yep, oh, just watched it last night.
Oh, I'm surprised. This was both of our first times watching it. I knew about it just because, like, I think my mom's watched it and told me about it, and I had, or someone gave me, it was a Happy Meal toy maybe, and it was the Toothless. And so, like, I knew some stuff about it, but I've never watched the movie. And I really enjoyed it. I was very invested in Toothless and was really upset when they took him off to the hive. Oh. I was like, oh no, Toothless.
How did you like your first, when you first saw the Red Death?
When he jumped out and ate the, the food. Yeah, it was, what did it make me think of? It made me think of something. Probably something in Star Wars.
Oh, I love that.
Where pit. They're just, and something comes out. Or no, it may have been that Star Wars, the first one where he's like, there's always a bigger fish.
Oh, you're talking about the Phantom Menace. Fish. Oh,
the Phantom Menace. Oh, yeah. Misa talking about the Phantom Menace.
Oh, in the Gungan place.
Yeah, in the water. And then this huge fish comes out. And that's kind of what the dragon at first reminded me of. Because it was just so large. And you're like, what the heck?
Yeah.
His dad made me really mad. Because he's so pig-headed and stubborn.
And Scottish.
But he had his redeeming moment.
Yeah.
I always appreciate a story where... They show that the civilization is going about things the wrong way and needs to change their terrible ways.
Gotcha.
A lot of growth in that movie.
Yep. Okay. So I'll say this. I think I saw this on Netflix a few years ago, and I liked it.
What made you watch it?
I think it was the second one was about to come out, and it looked really interesting, so I was like, I probably should watch the first one first. And then I watched it, and then I really also enjoy the second one. It's quite good. The third one is, it's good. I will say this, Mike, I think you'll find it rewarding to watch the second and third one, because I will say overall there is a, I want to say maybe the best series showing the maturity and evolution of a character with Hiccup. Mm-hmm. He goes through a lot of changes, and it's all, I'd say, as realistic as a cartoon about dragons is. It's realistic changes, and it's very positive changes. So there's a lot of good progression in the characters and throughout this whole thing. And I agree with Samantha about it being... It's a good book-ended trilogy. It ends and it begins and ends where it needs to, and it probably stays that way. I remember seeing a lot about the animation. This is DreamWorks is a very interesting company for me, especially when you put them up against their competitor Pixar. Because, you know, I love a company that's founded out of spite.
Yeah.
like DreamWorks was. But DreamWorks is one of those companies, they will have absolute smash hits and really good animation, especially action animation. And then they'll follow it up with, like, just garbage movies.
Yeah.
They have, like, their good is really good, but the rest of it is just mediocre to bad.
The only ones I can think of is, like, Shrek, right? Isn't that DreamWorks?
Yeah, that's the Spite film that kicked it off, the flagship Spite.
Yeah. I would also
Cloudy
say,
with a Chance of Meatballs.
Was that DreamWorks?
It might not have been.
I'm looking. Hang on. I've got their...
Kung Fu Panda
is their other trilogy. There's trilogies.
The Crux?
Croods. Croods is like fine. Megamind was surprisingly fun. But that didn't really go very far.
We haven't seen the majority of these.
Yeah, there's a lot that it's like Over the Hedge, Flushed Away.
Oh yeah, DreamWorks cracks me up because they put out like a How to Train Your Dragon, and then they put out Over the Hedge, and then they put out
Monsters versus Aliens. That's
that one was fine. Yeah.
I think it's interesting also, this is a studio that went from traditional hand-drawn animation into computer animation. They didn't bother to split it up, and they, because like their first stuff was like, let's see here.
Prince of Egypt,
Road to El Dorado.
I love Road to
El Dorado. Love that one.
They did
Sinbad?
Yes, they did Sinbad. So then they did that, and then they also did Claymation, like Wallace and Gromit, The Curse of the Were-Rabbit is theirs. Chicken Run.
We watched
Chicken Run.
And of course, Mike, I don't know how you don't know this studio all that well, because they did your favorite movie of all time, B-Movie.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. I always like when these films lead to innovation, because, you know, like for Tangled, Disney had to make a whole new engine for animating hair. Yeah. And that was like the big thing. Yeah. And they, for the second one, they had to basically tear down their animating software to like nothing and rebuild an entirely new one just to be able to get the like dynamic lighting or something that they needed, which I think is really cool.
Yep.
I remember where I was. I remember the first time seeing Shrek. I was in fifth grade, I think. It was awesome.
I remember first time
my grandmother took me.
So
that was the first movie we got for our DVD player.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
Look at DreamWorks.
That and Cable Guy.
Wow.
That's yep. So
is that right?
There's one thing though that I will point to that I like in this film more than anything else, and that is the music of Mr. John Powell.
Oh yes. It's one of the best scores of all time.
Yeah, this guy is he is apparently, I don't want to say a protege of Hans Zimmer, but he worked in his studio, so he probably learned a little bit from him. Like, I see John Powell as being the guy that will eventually succeed John Williams.
Succeed?
Yeah. I mean, John...
Maybe contemporary. Contemporary.
Maybe he'll...
Well, all right. Following in his footsteps.
Yeah, yeah.
He definitely won't surpass.
He will not... He will succeed, not surpass. That's what
he
I'm
might.
Saying.
He might. He's got more time.
He does. He's
gonna take the torch.
He's a fairly young man, but he has made some really good music, and did he not do Kung Fu Panda?
Did he not? I really only know the scores from these movies because I adore them, and like I said, just hearing how they progress along with the story is great, because like. Not to spoil anything, but the third film is mostly new stuff, but then there's like a really really not fulfilling, a satisfying callback to all the original themes at one point in that, which I just, it was just like, I love it.
Oh, he co-did Kung Fu Panda with Hans Zimmer, so that's why. Okay, I was fine with that. Yeah, but
Hans Zimmer did the Lion King score.
Yes. So yeah, that is, I think, one of the biggest takeaways is just the score is just stellar for this film. And these series of films. It only keeps getting better. I also, like I said, I find the, as I mentioned, the Scots as Vikings annoying. Just make them Scots. That would have been fine. The rest of the voice cast, I'm like, yeah, it's weird. And of course, there are some actors that are replaced later on due to some issues.
Well, there's one actor replaced.
Yeah.
Who? Just tell us.
T.J. Miller.
Yeah, T.J. Miller. He's on the third one.
Yeah.
And yeah. Yeah.
They use Tough Nuts voice actor from the series.
Yeah. Mm. So there's that. Other than that, I think it's pretty good. Like I said, I think this is on the high end of DreamWorks' stuff. I don't know. I don't really have all that else much to say about it, like I said, besides saying the second and third one are better. But it was nice to kind of go back to this one and see where it all started. And like I said, you can definitely see the leaps and bounds in animation. I agree with that. It's really interesting to see that.
I know one thing that one of the reasons that this movie is so well liked is because everybody sees their own pet in Toothless.
Yes. I was gonna be so upset if they killed off the dang dragon. Like, I get so much more upset when the animals die versus the humans in the films.
Yeah.
I actually have a coworker, her parents immigrated from India, and so culturally she's just like, I do not understand Americans' obsessions with animals.
I don't understand Americans' obsession with animals.
I was like, well,
like, you guys were rooting for
I like them better,
the dog in The Thing, and it was an alien monster and it killed everyone. We're like, they don't kill this dog, do they? And I'm like, it's not a dog. It's a monster. Well,
it was a dog. It's hard to watch something.
I'm not saying you need to take any pleasure from it, but it, like, animals die. It happens. Yeah,
I know. If they just die naturally, it's like whatever. But it's sad when, like, a dog or something that trusts people, especially, it's like, oh, I'm so happy to see you, and then they just like,
yeah.
You know, they have no control over it. I think that's part at the root of it.
I think that's anyway. Rich from you with all your, like, apartheid and, like, your caste system in your games.
In a video game?
Having, like, you value it's human like, life it's over not like animal life.
Not, it's not like these...
Or, excuse me, the other way around.
It's not like these animated things in my games. It's not like they're going without anything. They don't care. They don't know where their house is at. They don't care. I care.
I'm going to take this stance and say I'm pro-human over animals, okay? Animals are great, but they're...
What did you guys think of Mice and Men?
That's why I don't... that book makes me uncomfortable for many reasons.
Not enough mice, if you ask me. That's the first thing I think of.
I really enjoyed it. It was a really good movie. I liked the story. And I don't know, like, the flying piece of it, like him fixing the dragon stuff was pretty cool.
So
a lot of redemption in it.
So funny enough, you mentioned the flying stuff. There's a little anecdote in the latest Game of Thrones. What's it called? House of the Dragon.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
One of the directors was like, I went back and watched How to Train Your Dragon 1-3 to figure out how dragons fly and how they could, like, battle each other. So he totally went and watched what they did. He's like, because they nailed it.
So, freaking Almond, that's what I call him. So
yeah. Like, he's like, no, they did it.
The thing. He did the.
Yeah. He's like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, yeah, I totally, you know, cribbed that off of them because they nailed it. So that's really cool.
That's so funny.
So you can thank this children's movie series for like some gruesome Game of Thrones stuff, you know, 20 something years later.
I was really, oh, like, up until this point, I'd never seen, like, a cartoon dragon that wasn't the lamest ever. So okay. I was really happy with Toothless's design. I like the Natters a lot. Astrid's dragon. The Monstrous Nightmare's eyes are a bit too googly for me, and I would never, if I got stuck with a Gronkle, I would just kill myself. But
they did take, like, a Pokemon approach to dragons. There are no, like, traditional fantasy dragons really in this thing all that much.
No, they're all kind of different. My favorite dragon shows up in the second movie. Mm. And there's just one that I love for no reason at all in the third one. But they just have really some of the best dragon designs I'd ever seen. Like, I remember being like, oh, these don't look very stupid.
Or frightening. I think is also what they want to go for, like, to show you these are not just scary monsters.
Except the big one. I do love the shot of when the light at the end of the battle, when the lightning flashes and you see the silhouette of the big one in the sky. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite.
I will give this a random thought just kind of popped in my head. This is also a good series about showing kids that there are consequences for actions. Like, decisions carry over in this film series. Like the bad guys don't always, you know, come away unscathed from the villains, like where he loses his foot and things. I'll not spoil for you guys. There's carryover. It's really interesting. This is one series that has that, where it's not just the good guys win, the bad guys lose type stuff.
That's one thing I like about it. Everything that, like I said, it all just felt like a natural progression of things. Like, even though there's things that are very different in each of the sequels, it doesn't feel like, you know how some movies you come back for the sequel and, like, just tonally it's completely different, everything looks different, like, the costumes may be better or worse depending on the budget they have, like, it just feels like it makes you completely forget what the first one even was like. But this doesn't do that. Anyway, I think you guys should watch the next two.
We will. For sure.
For sure.
For sure.
Okay. Anybody else got anything else to say about this movie? Nope. Okay. No. I guess that's kind of a quick episode.
5 out of 5 stars.
Okay. 5 out of 5 from Mike.
5 bags of popcorn.
His review.
5 Scots portraying Norsemen.
5 dragons' teeth.
All right. Well, I guess we'll call it here. Goodbye, folks. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye.